Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan, coming to you live on NBC Sports Washington as well. You can follow along on TV. We're presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. It's Bish, Cakes, EB, and JP on a Pro Football Focus Tuesday. I'm going to be joined by Mike Renner, their lead draft analyst here momentarily. And Mike joins us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how's it going?
What's up, Mike?
What's up, Mikey?
Doing all right. I was looking at your recent tweets, and you were talking about the Bucs offense and that it's never going to be what it's cracked up to be unless they really change the offense. What did you mean by that?
Well, I'm not sure it's what it's cracked up to be. It's never going to be like the Seahawks or the Chiefs or, the Packers, these other elite teams around the NFL that are putting up, you know, well over 30 points a game until they trust Tom Brady to score points for them. They're still leaning on that run game far too much. And you look at those teams like the Seahawks, like the Chiefs, they're putting the ball in the hands of their best player and asking them to go win them games. They're passing more on first down than any other teams in the NFL. And if you've seen the Bucs run game at all this year, it's awful. When they're handing it off on first down, which they do half the time, they're basically just putting Tom Brady behind the eight ball and putting him in unfavorable situations. Whereas, you know, teams, the juggernaut offenses out there are not doing that nearly as much nowadays.
But Ronald Jones is fourth in the league in rushing. I mean, it can't be that
bad. Yeah, but they have the third worst success rate on first down runs of any team in the NFL
first
this
down,
year.
Right, so right.
They're really just, that's just kind of going to put you in unsuccessful situations. They have a lot of big plays in the run game, and that 98 yard run he had a few weeks ago is a big reason why he's so high in the league in rushing, but they're just not consistently effective, and that's not leading to, you know, big drive or big, it's not conducive to, you know, point scoring drives.
Yeah. I don't know, but you're right. He's got so many weapons. I mean, a couple of those guys he just added. I mean, I don't know if that was just Brady himself going to Arians and the GM going, hey, we could use Fournette, we could use Brown. But he's got Godwin's legit. Evans is obviously legit. Gronk is getting better each week. I just don't understand why there's not a better balance there.
That's the thing. It's you have the players and the pieces around him that he can get the ball out of his hands quickly. You're not worried about Tom Brady taking a lot of shots. They have one of the better offensive lines in the NFL. Like, you shouldn't be worried about him, you know, not being able to protect himself. And with as many weapons as they have, that passing game is just going to be so much more explosive than anything you can do in the running game that there's really no reason to take the ball out of his hands as much as they have.
How does Pro Football Focus – it looks like they have Alex Smith ranked 29th. And here's the thing. He has, believe it or not, he's brought some stability to the position, and it's been a bit of an upgrade. And yet you have him ranked 29th. What do you see? For me, I see a guy who, you know, he makes the easy throws for the most part, but a guy that's not mobile at all, but somehow he's finding a way to make it work.
Yeah, I think that's it. Your perception gets skewed when you're throwing Dwayne Haskins and Kyle Allen out of quarterback, who are the worst quarterbacks in the NFL. Anything is an upgrade at that point. So, yes, he's been better, but really still not a downfield passer. And like you said, not mobile whatsoever. But he can execute the offense, and I think that's the biggest thing and the biggest difference. And it's not a high bar to clear in the NFC East to look like a good team there right now.
And that offense right now is being centered around Antonio Gibson. We saw his breakout against Dallas with the three end zone trips. Talk about what you've seen with him, like gathering steam over the last month, becoming more the focal point of the offense.
I mean, he's a monster. He was the most physically gifted running back in this draft class. Was when he played at Memphis the most productive on a per-touch basis. But he only touched the ball, 77 times his entire college career? We just didn't know what it was going to look like. Everything was there. And I think they may legitimately have gotten the best running back from this draft class just because no one else was kind of willing to take that shot any higher because of how infrequently we saw him at Memphis. But, yeah, I think they got a special player there in the rookie. There's no doubt about it. He looked like I said, the best running back in the NFL, the best rookie running back in the NFL so far.
So do you think the Chiefs overshot on Edwards-Helaire? I mean, we've seen some good performances, but some spotty performances as well. Or is he just a victim of the Chiefs have so many pieces in that offense that Mahomes can go to that he goes overlooked sometimes?
Yeah, they 100%, in my opinion, overshot it. He's really not the biggest selling point with what he can do in the passing game, but they just have too many weapons in Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, who can win 20, 30 yards down the field instead of 5 yards down the field, that I don't think he's really done anything to make that offense any better this year. So, yeah, I think they could have gone elsewhere. They could have used some help defensively, that Chiefs roster, instead of going at running back, and especially when you draft a running back who right now probably looks like not even one of the top three rookie running backs in the class.
Mm-hmm. Talking to Mike Renner from Pro Football Focus, he's their lead draft analyst. You know, obviously everybody's hyping up DK Metcalf, but I saw you break down AJ Brown.
So good.
He doesn't get talked about as much, but that guy's a physical freak too.
So good.
Yeah, I think he kind of got swept under the rug in that draft class. I don't know why. He was putting up 1,300 yards in the SEC as a sophomore there at Ole Miss, was far more productive than DK Metcalf in that same offense. Fell in the second round for, like I said, I don't really know why. Few receivers come out that look like him at 225 pounds that run, a 4.5 and have the change of direction ability and explosiveness that he does. So, yeah, he looks like that whole draft class was utterly loaded with receiver talent, and a lot of teams passed on it. But A.J. Brown looks like he could be the best or the most complete of that bunch, at least the guy I want with the ball in his hands the most, because he is a freak after the catch.
And his teammate, Derrick Henry, I mean, I'm taking this from Pro Football Focus. He leads all running backs with 1,792 rushing yards in the last calendar year. That's 593 yards over all other running backs in the same span. And, I mean, this is his time of the year. We saw what he did against the Colts this past weekend, 27 carries, almost 180 yards, three end zone trips, 6.6 yards per carry. And the Titans' schedule upcoming, it's loaded with cupcakes. So you're going to see, I would think you're going to see more of this Derrick Henry workload going forward.
Yeah, so just how he gets stronger, as games goes on and the season goes on. I think he's getting stronger as his career goes on, too, somehow, which doesn't usually happen for NFL running backs. He's got almost 1,000 yards after contact this year. He was billed as a physical freak coming out of Alabama. I think we're kind of realizing how special he is. He really is in that upper echelon of the Adrian Petersons of the world, of just guys who are built differently, and it doesn't really matter what the blocking looks like for them up front. They're still going to produce.
So when we talk about the draft, there's going to be, four, maybe five teams that are probably looking for quarterbacks in the first round. Now, I'm not sure if five guys will go, but obviously Lawrence will go one to the Jets. Who knows who's going to have the second pick? It could be Jacksonville. And, the names that are being kind of thrown around there, Fields and Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, who I've seen play one time. And
Trey Lance is terrible. I evaluated him. He's terrible.
And I don't think people give Kyle Trask enough credit. He's the leader right now for the Heisman. He's a Heisman favorite. He's got 34 touchdowns and three picks in the SEC. He had a good year last year. So he's playing teams like Georgia and South Carolina and LSU and Florida. And Zach Wilson, now he's playing great this year. He's got great numbers, but he plays absolutely no one. I think someone has to factor in who you play and how good the defenses are, because Trask is playing against NFL defenders. And Zach Wilson's probably playing against zero. And last year when Wilson played a semi-decent schedule, he was just okay. Now, maybe he got better, and he is faster than Trask. He's got a stronger arm than Trask. But I think you have to factor in who you play every Saturday. I just do.
Yeah, that definitely matters. And the fact that Trask was in his very first year of starting, like didn't even start in high school, didn't start in college until last year at Florida. It was in his very first year. And then, you know, once he's kind of comfortable in that offense, once he gets his feet underneath him, it's just falling out of his mind and, you know, putting up the best numbers maybe any quarterback in the country this year. That has to factor in. But at the same time, you got to evaluate. You can still evaluate where the throw is supposed to go and where he wanted it to go. And I don't think anyone's been better at that than Zach Wilson this year. Yes, he's had, you know, very good offensive line at BYU, not been under a lot of pressure. And like you said, is playing easier defenses. But like the things you mentioned there, he's more mobile. He has a better arm. He can throw better on the move, which I think is the biggest knock on Trask right now, is that he is kind of a stationary play from the pocket. If anything breaks down, he's not going to be making those, you know, Patrick Mahomes-esque second chance plays, whereas we've seen that from Zach Wilson a bunch. So I think that's the biggest thing right now. But I'm with you that I think Kyle Trask is really playing his way into the first round. I would be surprised if he doesn't end up there.
But you think Zach definitely goes ahead of Trask. I'm not saying Trask should go I don't think Trask should go top five, no doubt. But
yeah.
You still think Zach goes ahead of Trask?
I do. I think he's younger. I mean, he is younger. He's only a junior. He had the shoulder issues in 2019, which is why he didn't play as well and was hurt throughout a lot of that year. Comes back this year, and it's just really no blip on the radar whatsoever. And competition level is a thing, but we've seen, you know, talent still matters a lot. Josh Allen played nobody at Wyoming, and when he did play somebody, he fell apart and has turned it around here early in the NFL. You still have to have those tools and that ability to mold once you get to the league.
It's going to be really interesting to see how all these guys do, even the Trevor Lawrences of the world, because, you know, Sam Darnold was obviously hyped up in college. Now, Trevor's a better college player than him. He's a better quarterback. But you go to New York, you know, you never know. I mean, the team that drafts you could screw you up. Justin Fields, who knows where he's going to go. But, I mean, there's just such a big leap when you go from college to the pros. Lawrence is probably a can't-misser, but you just don't know depending on who drafts him.
Yeah, I think we've seen at the NFL level so much of maybe not how you play yourself, but how an offense performs or how your numbers look. And kind of what I just touched on with Brady at the beginning here is what the play caller is, who you have around you, the talent, what your offensive line looks like. That, you know, changes a lot of what your perception will be at the NFL level and how good people think you are. So, yes, Trevor Lawrence, if he goes to the Jets, like, they don't have a lot right now. It might not be great early in his career. You have to surround these guys with as much talent as possible. It's not just, oh, we have him, now we're good, and you know, we're set offensively.
What are you seeing in Trey Lance? Because we do a little funny bit here where I just evaluate a guy during a commercial break. And so I did one of his YouTube videos, every throw. Maybe it was the one game he played this year where he was inaccurate, because he was so inaccurate. I was like, this guy stinks. He's unbelievable with the ball in his hands running. Like, that guy's a freak. But as far as throwing, okay, he's got a strong arm, but I don't know. Maybe his 2019 was totally different, but he looked wildly inaccurate in the one game I saw.
Yeah, to me, he's like a Taysom Hill that with a cannon, with just a lot stronger arm at this point. And he's definitely has some accuracy issues, level competition. There's not much you can discern when watching the defenses he's playing. But he really is, like, in terms of as a rushing threat, would probably step into the NFL and be the third best at the position behind, you know, Kyler Murray and Lamar Jackson. And that has a lot of value. We've seen that with both those guys, both those offenses. You kind of have a high floor when you're that dynamic as a runner and basically just another running back in the backfield. And so I think that gives you just a good starting point, and teams are going to be willing to take the chance on that, especially when you can throw it probably 75 yards the way he can with his arm. And it just expands the football field and makes life easier on you when you do have that combination of rushing ability and then a strong arm. So there's a lot you can do with him. I do think he's comfortably behind those top three at this point, just because he's so raw comparatively. Like, all those other guys can operate an offense and throw already fairly accurately. Trey Lance is really a wild card and going to have to go to a team that's going to scrap their offense and, you know, mold it around him. So I'm with you that it's not necessarily – I wouldn't love to pin my hopes on a guy like that, but we've seen quarterbacks with those tools, and, you know, go back to Josh Allen – that sort of thing, develop and start to change once they get better coaching at the NFL level.
Real quick, Mike, I know we've asked you this in the past, but this year I'm actually watching with my wife The Bachelorette, and I think Cakes watches it.
Of course,
I don't really have that much knowledge with it, but you were on it a couple of years ago. Uh-huh. And when I watch this with my wife, I just wonder, like, those conversations when they get all the bros kind of sitting around the couch and then they're commenting on the other guys, like, how set up is that? It seems very fake.
I mean, it's about us. I don't think they showed anything that wasn't like set up, that you weren't told to talk about or even prompted. Like, they'll put you all on the couch and then they'll ask you questions.
Right.
And then they'll act as if like our answers to those questions are just normal conversation that's going on in the house. Just 10 guys sitting on one couch hanging out. That's not how it went down.
Yeah. I tell my wife, it's like, there's no way these guys are just sitting around a couch and then they're talking about, man, I wonder what Mike did last night. Do you think he gave her a kiss or whatever? Like, there's just no way.
No, yeah, that was very prompted, I'll say.
All right, Mike, man, appreciate the time.
Thank you, buddy.
For sure, fellas. Thanks for having me on. You guys take it easy.
Yeah, you too, Mike. Thanks.
That's Mike Renner, Pro Football Focus. Yeah, I'm locked into to this season. I haven't watched previous seasons, but it seems very fake to me. All right, coming up next, we're going to connect with our pal, Mike Rizzo, GM and President of Baseball Operations of the Washington Nationals, right here on the Junkies.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Happy to be joined on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline by our pal Mike Rizzo, President of Baseball Operations and General Manager of the Washington Nationals. Today is Giving Tuesday, which is an annual day to give back. This year, the Nationals Foundation is raising money to support its Youth Baseball Academy. The kids and community surrounding the academy have been the hardest hit by the pandemic, so all donors give $100 or more. They'll get a Nats Academy face mask. You can go to natsacademy.org to learn more and donate today. Morning, Mike.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
What's up?
Doing all right. How have the last few weeks and months gone for you?
Well, you know, we're like everybody else. We're, you know, staying close to home and, you know, trying to do our part, wear our masks, and don't congregate with a bunch of people, and just trying to stay healthy. But it's been, you know, it's been a good, active, you know, kind of a busy information gathering time, like it always is at this part of the off season. So it's all been good.
You have some big name guys potentially on your radar there.
Yep.
You care to comment on any of them, Mike?
I think it's a little too early to comment on them. You know, we're doing all of our homework on all those guys, and you know, it's a really good class of free agents this year. There's, you know, we'll know a little bit more after the, you know, the tender date, which is coming up in the next day or so about who's, you know, what the actual field of players is really going to look like. Then we'll start implementing our off-season plan. And, you know, as we always do, we'll make adjustments along the way, but, you know, we're going to you know, be our normal aggressive selves and try and put together a team that that can win the championship again.
So explain the non-tender deadline date, which is, I believe, tomorrow. I'm just reading this now. So explain what that means.
Yeah, the non-tender date is when you have players under control, if you tender them a contract or not, and if you don't, obviously they become a free agent.
Okay, and what would that tender be? What's that number?
The number would be whatever their arbitration number could possibly be. The numbers aren't set in stone, but we all have a general kind of idea of what our tolerance is for each of these players. And if you feel that the player, if you want to sign that, you want to keep that player's contract, or you could either non-tender them and then they'll become a free agent.
So when do you expect the bigger names, you know, the Springers, the Realmutos, the LeMahieus, like the top 7 to 10 names to sign? Could that kind of last into January, February, or do you think that's going to happen here in the next couple weeks?
You know, I don't know. You never know on these things. Certain years it takes a little longer than others, but often these free agent seasons, you get a top flight player go off the board quickly. I have no idea what this year's free agent season is going to look like as far as timing, but there's a lot of really good players out there. So, there's teams that want to fill some spots with some great players. So it's a good way to kind of facilitate the roster and kind of, you know, put you in position to go into spring training as a really good team.
So, Mike, we're having you on today as we talk to Mike Rizzo, the GM and president of baseball ops of the Nationals, to talk about Giving Tuesday and the Nats Academy, which is fantastic. But for those of our listeners that aren't as familiar with the Nats Academy, can you kind of fill us in on what they do? And again, a $100 donation gets you a Nats Academy face mask. You can go to natsacademy.org to learn more.
Did we lose Mike?
Sounds like we may have lost him.
Mikey.
Drabby, what happened? Did we lose him?
Lost him in the plug.
Rizzo. R-I-Z-Z-O.
Well, hopefully we'll get him back on.
Will he say on the record, like, I mean, it's obvious they're going to go after another starting pitcher, right? I mean, they're not just going to rely
on... I don't know if it's obvious. Did you see the little Instagram stuff that Juan Soto did?
No.
So I don't remember whose specific Instagram he was responding to, but it had to do with Trevor Bauer being available. And Juan Soto did one of those Instagrams with the eyeball emoji, like a bunch of like eyeballs, like he's paying attention.
Interested?
And then there was like a little back and forth. We can get into that later. But anyway, Mike, when we lost you, I was talking about the Nats Academy. For some of our listeners that don't know as much about it as we do, can you fill them in?
Well, it's such a great program we have. It's near and dear to my heart. I've been on the board of directors since this thing started years ago. The Nationals Foundation is, we're raising money for the youth baseball academy. It's in Southeast. It's in a part of town that's in need of some good things and happening. And, the kids in the community that surround the academy, now they've been hardest hit by this COVID pandemic. And, it's something that, we're trying to raise some money to raise their spirits and to raise them up. It's a youth baseball and softball academy, but they learn so much more. You know, there's education. There's a place for these people to go to, you know, after school, and it's a safe environment. They're educated. There's classrooms. There's a kitchen. There's baseball. There's lifestyle skills, and it's just such a unique and beautiful experience over there. It's something that if people, I know this is everyone wants people to donate to their cause, at this time of year. But if you want to keep your money local and help some really needy, some really wonderful, some really deserving kids, this is something that you should really think about. And it's an awesome cause, and they do an awesome job over there at the Nationals Baseball Academy.
And, you know, a lot of your players have been involved, and now a former player. I was just looking at the Nationals Philanthropies Twitter account, and they were giving a thank you to Michael A. Taylor, who was always part of supporting the community. Talk about you know, you're going to lose a player, and Michael Taylor was just a great person.
Oh, yeah, yeah, great. You know, he's a great kid that we drafted, signed, and developed as a shortstop, made him into a really good defensive outfielder, and he was a credit to the Nationals' name on the front of his jersey. He conducted himself beautifully, and he was a big contributor and a huge factor there at the Nationals Baseball Academy, along with Ian Desmond over the years and Anthony Rendon and Sean Doolittle and you know, Ryan Zimmerman. The list goes on and on. Everybody who's ever laid their feet down here in Washington, D.C. has been a great contributor over there. We've got some current players now, and you know, Trey Turner, Juan Soto, they're always over there. They're guys that that take the time and travel over to Southeast to make those kids feel a little bit better, make their lives a little bit easier, and they're obviously great contributors of the foundation.
Yeah, you can follow on Twitter at Nats4Good, the number four, and of course, if you want to donate, natsacademy.org. I wanted to ask you a little bit about it. There was an article in the Washington Post about Spencer Keyboom, who was a catcher in the organization. I think he's just 28 years old, of course, Carter's brother, and he's walked away from the game. And as I was reading the article and I knew that you were coming on the show, I wanted to kind of get your tale of what it was like for you. This is a tough decision. Reading that article, I could see, you know, he's a competitor, but at some point the fire went away. And he decided to walk away from the game. And I was thinking, well, what was it probably like for Mike Rizzo years ago?
Well, it's the same thing. You know, they had to rip the jersey off me. I went kicking and screaming. Probably wasn't the same thing as Boomer did. You know, this is an intelligent kid who you know, graduated from college. He's got a very good life ahead of him, and he just felt that when you do lose that edge and you do lose that love and that hunger for it, it's just so difficult to continue. You know, with the options he has, and with the things that he has in his life, you know, he felt that his life will continue. He'll have a happy life, and it'll be just without baseball. So you know, different players go through it in different ways. You know, I was lucky enough when I was finished as a player, I stayed in the game in a different job and a different career path. But I'm not sure what Boomer's career path is going to be, but he'll be a success wherever he's at because he's an intelligent kid with a good heart and was a good representative of the Washington Nationals when he was here.
Where are you with his brother? Because he is such a big prospect that everybody's been talking about for a couple years now. And it seemed like, you know, because the bat just didn't produce the way you guys expect and what he did in the minor leagues, it seemed like from afar, Mike, that it just seemed like you guys were losing a little faith there. What's sort of the status?
You would be inaccurate.
All right.
In your 22nd commercial assessments that you've been doing.
Yeah.
No, you'd be inaccurate. There's the guy that we have great faith in. We have high expectations for, and we felt that his game came a long way in 2019 and 20. Learned a new position at the major league level. Well, we've got high hopes for him. We think he's going to be a great player for us. And you know, if you look at the very small sample size early in his career, you know, Anthony Rendon went through the same thing. Several players go through the same thing early in their career. If you start judging people by 100 or 200 major league at-bats when they're starting to play a new position in the league, you'd be in trouble. And we're certainly not going to do that. We've got all the confidence in the world in him. And we think he's going to be a hell of a player.
What about this kid? I say he's a kid. He's 33, but this Cuban, Yadiel Hernandez, who I think played the majority of his career in the Cuban league. But you
he had
guys
a big homer or something, I remember, right?
You guys brought him in. What's his deal?
Well, we signed him about 4 years ago, and he was one of our international signings. He was an older player. He played in the Cuban national team for years and was a really good player over there. And came to the minor leagues and hit all the way through every stop that we had. And in 2019 in Fresno, I forget what he hit, but something like 340 or something like that. And we brought him up to the big leagues. We know he could hit. He showed flashes of it at the big league level last year. And You know, he's a guy, he's a kid who loves to play baseball. And when the season was over here, he immediately went to the Mexican League and started playing down there. And he's raking again down there. So the guy can hit. And we feel that, you know, our international scouting staff did a hell of a job with signing him. It was kind of an unconventional sign because of his age. But, you know, when you can hit, we'll find a place for you. And this guy can hit.
Mm-hmm. Mike, so many things are changing. I'm just wondering, and I would imagine you have a bunch of contingencies. How are you preparing, given the COVID and pandemic situation, for spring training and the upcoming season?
Well, we're going to put our best foot forward and have our protocols in place. Our number one priority, as it was in this year's spring training, would be the safety and of our players, staff, and their families, and that's not going to change. And we will make sure that that everyone's safe and stays healthy and can play for us. But most importantly, we need to care for our people, and that's going to be first and foremost on our minds.
Have you heard from some of the guys who opted out, like Ryan Zimmerman and Ross, who opted out? Are they going to try and get back with the Nationals this season?
Well, Ross is under contract with us. He's planning on playing. Zim, we had a few conversations early at the latter end of the season last year. I'm not sure if he's made a decision yet or not, but I've spoken to both of those guys, and both their individual assessments are different. They're in their career, so we'll keep on top of both of them, but we're certainly going to have Joe Ross on the team next year, and Zim will have to make a decision on him, and depending on what his feelings are with his family.
Mike, I don't know how much control you have over this. Probably not much. I don't know if this is a city thing or a league wide thing, but I can't imagine you guys can afford to go into another season without fans. Now maybe it's limited. Maybe it's 20% full or whatever, but the Phillies announced they lost $150 million last year without the fans. I'm assuming that you guys are probably in that same ballpark. So would you guess that going forward, once, you know, opening day starts, whenever that is, you guys are going to have fans, or you have to leave that up to the city and the league?
Well, it's certainly going to be up to the city and the league and all the scientists and people way smarter than me to make those decisions. We're going to have contingency plans that are going to be available to us in all different scenarios. But we're looking forward to keeping our players healthy and having a good baseball season. That's what we can control on the baseball operations side, and that's how we're going to move forward in the off season.
Were the winter meetings canceled, or are they still scheduled?
The winter meetings are going to be remote. We will have them. They'll be remote.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
So how does that work? Like, normally you'd go around in the hallway and you talk to a guy and, you know, do your discussions or whatever. How does that happen now? Just phone calls, old school?
Yeah, I think you'll do it by phone, and we've had everyone's touched base with everybody just about already. You know, you have your conversations, your early conversations with a lot of teams that you match up with, and you kind of tell them what their what your ideas are for the off season if there's a match and that type of thing. And then as things get closer to spring training, I think you see those conversations kind of move forward, and then that's how deals are made. But I think that with the advent of doing the, of not having an in-person winter meetings, you'll see a lot more meetings being done by Zoom and by phone calls, which I think that we can get our jobs done that way.
Mike, once again, thanks for the time. Follow them on Twitter at Nationals Philanthropies. It's at Nats, the number 4, and good. And then you can donate at natsacademy.org. It's Giving Tuesday. All donors who give $100 or more will get a Nats Academy face mask. So, again, it's natsacademy.org if you want to learn more and donate today. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you, buddy.
Let's get this thing rolling today, guys. And I appreciate you having me on so I could talk about this. It's important to us. And most importantly, it's important to those kids at the Nats Academy. So thanks, guys.
Yeah, thank you, Mike.
Appreciate it, Mike.
Got it, man.
It's Mike Rizzo, President of Baseball Ops, GM of the Washington Nationals, right here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Thanks again to Mike Rizzo for joining us. You want to donate natsacademy.org if you want to help the Nats Youth Baseball Academy and communities surrounding the academy.
You know, Mike broke my balls when I asked him about Carter, and I said, you know, it seems like from afar that you've lost a little faith. Yeah. The last time I asked him about him, he sent him down. You know, right after the show.
Yeah, and so. and I can't remember off the top of my head, but like a week or two ago, who were they rumored to be interested in? Who was a third baseman?
Well,
Chris Bryant. Yeah. They were talking about some trade
for quite a while.
Yeah, but so. He's always going to defend his guys.
Yeah,
he's not
going
to tell you the truth there.
I know, but
I mean, I would agree with you. I think they probably have lost faith in him a little bit as an opening day starter for next spring, but he's not going to tell you that.
And he's right. He's 23 years old.
Yeah.
So true.
He's had limited plate appearances.
I'm not saying it's going to be awful.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying it appears from afar that, I don't know. But we'll see. Only time will tell.
Yeah.
I will say that it was bittersweet to see Michael Taylor move on because, you know, I like to goof on him at times. Of course, somebody did the weaselly Twitter move that people do all the time. They posted something on his account or something or on the Nats account, and they said, even when at EB Junkies called him Michael AAA Taylor, I always loved you.
Come on,
Michael.
It's a great nickname.
I mean, it's a great nickname.
I mean, it's an amazing
nickname. I don't even think
nickname.
I could take credit for that. Somebody else came up with that, I'm sure.
Right.
But I hate it when people do that kind of thing. They're so
easy. I hate
easily.
That.
I did like him at the end of the day. I did. You know, he had some big moments for the Nats.
You won't root for him with the Royals.
Yeah, I'd root for him to do well.
You know one, he, I mean, what?
He'll
got,
hit 200, but I'll root for him to do
he's
well.
He's got a ring.
He's got a ring, and
well,
he was
so
a part
I.
of it. That's
I mean,
true.
Come on.
Yeah, but he actually earned it.
I'm a World Series champion.
So does Spencer Keyboom.
Does Spencer have one, too?
Yes.
He probably does. Yeah. Yeah.
But and about 1,000 other people.
But I think that they've got to at least be interested in a legit starting pitcher because of the age of Max, the injury history of Strauss, and then that 4 and 5.
I think they have to.
The 4 and 5 spots, you know, who knows what happens there.
I assume Ross will be back and they'll give him a shot at it.
But I can't imagine they're going to go Austin Both as an everyday starter or every fifth day starter.
He should
anyway.
Be a fill-in guy.
And then they got to get some bats. They got to get help in a couple different spots, I think.
Yeah. It sounds like he has somewhat of an open door for Zim if Zim wants to come back, right? He kind of left the door open for him.
By the way, what Soto put on Instagram, besides the eyeball emojis, Mm-hmm. It looks like he was, I don't know the verbiage for Instagram because I don't have Instagram, but it was to somebody named Luke Byron. He goes, think about a big four starting rotation with two Cy Young. That can be beautiful.
Uh-huh.
And then somebody shot back, well, Scherzer is now old and weak. He's just an average pitcher now. Then Soto shot back, all right, I bet you can't hit him.
Right.
That's a good retort by him.
So he got into like an Instagram messaging battle.
Yeah, those never end well. You just stay away. Just stay above the frays. Probably the best way to approach it.
But his eyeball emojis came out. It was a response to MLB on Instagram where they just wrote, it's not often you can sign the reigning Cy Young. And just a few minutes later, Juan Soto was there with the eyeballs. So at least he wants Trevor Bauer to join the Washington Nationals.
Well, I mean, the question is, you've got Scherzer under a big deal. Now, some of that's deferred. Strasburg obviously signed a big deal. Mm-hmm. I would think Bauer is going to sign something similar to what Cole signed for in New York, which was, what, about 320? Somewhere,
is that right?
Somewhere in that range.
I can't remember.
It was over 300. So do you want to have Scherzer, Strassi, and Bauer all with just monster contracts?
Well, don't sleep on Corbin. Corbin's making deal. $24 million a year, too.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's a good question.
It's interesting. I think Max's base is $27 million, but with deferred money and that sort of thing, I think he's making up $34 million.
Mm-hmm.
Strauss is making $23 million, but he's deferring $10 million of it or something. So,
can you imagine? He's going to be like 50 and logging into his online bank account, and he's just going to see deposits from the Nats until he's like,
well, he may never even have to check his bank account. You know,
well, I'm sure he just does it for fun.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Like to see where it's at.
That's what I do when the market has a good day. You know, it sets another record or something. I go, fire up the accounts, D. Let's look at it.
When it's down,
don't look.
I never look.
Don't look. Don't look when it's down. It's always better to see green. Silly green numbers.
Hey, so by the way, do you guys know what today is?
You might want to look at it now then.
Today is December 1st.
I understand it's December 1st, but do you know what's happening right now?
What's happening
December 1st.
Is there something? Hold on. Show related or?
I mean, kind of. We talk about it on the show.
December 1.
What am I missing?
What is December 1st?
Oh, payday?
1st.
No.
No.
What is it? I don't even know.
Believe the Wizards start training camp today.
Oh, yes.
Oh, look at that.
You know the season starts in, 21
days?
Yeah, I think you're going to have preseason action in like a week.
Unbelievable.
All the guys coming back? Like, is LeBron on board, or is he going to, like, take
if
his
If he wants
time?
To get paid, he's on board.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, if he wants those checks coming in.
Ooh, Entercom stock up 13 cents. Whatever that is for Mika. I think it's $130.
I'll let you comment on that.
Yeah.
By the way, the Wizards.
It is good.
The Wizards' first preseason game. If you want to see Denny Avdia or see if John Wall, you know, we've seen some of the action.
Mm-hmm.
December 13th. I mean, it's less than 2 weeks away.
That's crazy.
They take on the Brooklyn Nets on December 13th. They only have three preseason games. That one's in Brooklyn. Then they have two on December 17th and the 19th at Capital One Arena against the Pistons, and then the season is on.
Unbelievable.
Can I do a futures bet? Let me do a future. Let me see. NBA championship.
Do
the
we
Lakers
have
plus 260.
Do we have the Wiz regular season opener yet, or is that TBD?
You mean the schedule?
Yes.
Let me see if I can get you one right now.
Hey, the Lakers, they're clearly the favorite. It looks like Clippers and Bucks next, but not that. It looks like by far the Lakers are the favorite.
Well, it's not surprising. They just won it, and they've got LeBron and Anthony Davis.
I don't know. LeBron's going to be another year older.
They actually made some good moves in the offseason.
Okay, so
they brought in Dennis Schroeder.
Yeah, he thinks
he's
going to be a starter.
They kept Keith, right? Isn't Keith still there? Is that right, or am I wrong about that? I thought he re-upped.
I think he's running it back with them, yes.
Yeah.
I think that's correct.
They only have Washington preseason games on the schedule.
Okay.
So they don't have the regular season schedule up yet.
NBA regular season MVP. Favorite, Cakes?
Giannis.
Giannis. No, second favorite?
Braun.
Luka.
Yeah. Oh.
Luka, then Anthony Davis. Braun, plus 850.
That might not be a bad value.
That might not be a bad bet. Got to find something here, man.
Hey, it's coming up, bro.
Anyway, point is, it is here.
Ooh, yeah. Rookie of the Year. LaMelo
here.
Ball, Cakes. What do you think?
Obi
Toppin. James Wiseman. Who are we going to bet on?
Who are you going to bet on?
Yeah. All right, we got to get out of here. For Bish, Cakes, EB, I'm JP. We will see you tomorrow. Grant, Danny, they're up next right here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.